Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, Operation Gladio, The Unholy Alliance Between the Vatican, the CIA, and the Mafia by Paul L. Williams presents a provocative investigation into Cold War-era covert operations and the shadow networks that allegedly influenced European and American politics. Centered on the concept of Gladio, widely associated with NATO-linked stay-behind structures in post-war Europe, the book argues that anti-communist strategy sometimes blurred into clandestine action, political manipulation, and criminal collaboration. Williams weaves together reported claims about intelligence agencies, Vatican financial and diplomatic power, and organized crime logistics, aiming to show how money, ideology, and secrecy can converge during periods of geopolitical panic. The narrative is written for readers interested in political intrigue, intelligence history, and the darker corners of post-war power. While the subject is contentious and often debated, the book invites readers to examine how secrecy, deniable operations, and institutional incentives can produce long-lasting consequences for democracy and public trust. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, Gladio and the logic of stay-behind networks. A major focus of the book is the origin story and rationale of stay-behind organizations, commonly linked in public discussion to Operation Gladio. In the Cold War framework, Western governments and intelligence partners feared a Soviet invasion or internal communist takeovers, especially in countries with strong communist parties. The book frames Gladio as a contingency system designed for resistance, sabotage, and intelligence gathering if conventional defenses failed. From this starting point, it explores how the mere existence of secret structures creates structural risk, parallel chains of command, limited oversight, and incentives to expand missions beyond their original defensive purpose. The discussion highlights how clandestine programs can migrate from planning for hypothetical invasions to influencing domestic political outcomes, including funding, propaganda, and relationships with extremist actors. The book also emphasizes the challenge of verification in intelligence history, where partial declassifications, parliamentary inquiries, and journalistic investigations yield fragments rather than complete transparency. For readers, the central takeaway is less a single event than a system when national security planning becomes permanent and insulated. The boundary between defense and political engineering can erode, with consequences that may linger long after the emergency mindset fades. Secondly, intelligence tradecraft, deniability, and political manipulation. Another key theme is how intelligence work can operate through cutouts, front organizations, and informal networks to maintain plausible deniability. The book describes a world where decisions are routed through intermediaries. Funding is laundered through seemingly legitimate entities, and operational responsibility is intentionally obscured. This lens is used to interpret alleged episodes of interference in elections, labor movements, media narratives, and civil society. Rather than portraying covert action as a series of isolated plots, the book underscores the bureaucratic and strategic logic that can drive such methods. Decision-makers want outcomes without fingerprints, and agencies compete for influence by offering capabilities that elected leaders cannot publicly authorize. It also addresses how secrecy changes incentives, encouraging short-term tactical wins even when long-term democratic legitimacy is damaged. Readers are prompted to think about oversight mechanisms and why they often fail, particularly when programs are compartmentalized and justified through broad national security claims. Even without accepting every allegation at face value, the topic offers a practical framework for evaluating covert action narratives, recognizing patterns such as hidden financing, information operations, and the use of criminal or ideological proxies to shape political realities. Thirdly, Vatican power diplomacy, finance, and institutional shielding. The book places significant emphasis on the Vatican as an institution with unique forms of influence, a global diplomatic presence, moral authority for many believers, and complex financial structures that have periodically drawn scrutiny. In this account, the Vatican is presented not merely as a religious actor, but as a geopolitical stakeholder, operating amid Cold War pressures, anti-communist priorities, and relationships with Western governments. The narrative explores how religious institutions can become nodes in broader power networks, offering credibility, international reach, and channels for discreet communication. It also examines how financial institutions connected to religious entities may become attractive vehicles for moving money across borders, whether for benign charitable reasons or for less transparent purposes, depending on the claims being assessed. A key idea is institutional shielding. When an organization holds special legal status, commands loyalty, or is seen as untouchable, critics face higher barriers in demanding transparency. The book invites readers to consider the difference between faith communities and the administrative apparatus that manages money and diplomacy. This topic is ultimately about how sacred missions and real politics can collide, and how that collision can create blind spots in accountability and public understanding. Fourthly, organized crime as infrastructure for covert operations. Williams develops the argument that organized crime groups can function as ready-made infrastructure for clandestine activity. Criminal networks often possess capabilities that covert operators value: document fraud, smuggling routes, money laundering, access to weapons, and the ability to intimidate or enforce discipline. The book frames the mafia in particular as a potential partner of convenience when governments or intelligence services seek results that must remain unofficial. This topic examines why such alliances are tempting and why they are corrosive. The temptation lies in speed and deniability, but the cost is a loss of control, since criminal organizations pursue profit and power, not ideology or national interest. Once empowered, they can capture institutions, corrupt law enforcement, and shape politics through fear and patronage. The book also points to the moral hazard of outsourcing dirty work. The state becomes dependent on actors it cannot publicly acknowledge or effectively regulate. For readers, the broader insight is that illicit networks and official power can become mutually reinforcing, especially when secrecy blocks scrutiny. This topic encourages careful thinking about how corruption ecosystems form and why they persist even after the geopolitical crises that allegedly gave rise to them have passed. Lastly, assessing controversial claims evidence, inquiries, and critical reading. Because the subject matter touches on conspiracy allegations, covert programs, and institutions that guard information, the book implicitly raises a methodological challenge: how should readers evaluate claims that are difficult to prove conclusively? This topic focuses on critical reading practices suited to intelligence history and political controversy. The book draws attention to the patchwork nature of public evidence, parliamentary investigations, court records, declassified documents, journalistic reporting, and testimonies that can conflict or be self-serving. It highlights how narratives can be shaped by political agendas, reputational incentives, and selective disclosure. Readers are encouraged to separate three layers: what is officially acknowledged, what is strongly supported by multiple independent sources, and what remains speculative or inferential. Another important angle is proportionality, weighing whether the proposed coordination among actors is operationally plausible and whether alternative explanations fit the facts. Even readers who disagree with the author's conclusions can use the book as a case study in how to interrogate power, follow money trails, and understand the mechanics of deniable action. The result is an emphasis on informed skepticism, neither dismissing unsettling claims automatically nor accepting them without rigorous corroboration. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers drawn to Cold War history, intelligence operations, political scandal, and the intersection of religion, finance, and organized crime. It will appeal to those who want a narrative-driven exploration of how secretive institutions may cooperate when ideological conflict and geopolitical urgency dominate decision-making. The potential benefit is practical as well as historical. By learning the alleged pathways of covert influence, readers can sharpen media literacy, recognize incentives that drive hidden alliances, and think more clearly about transparency, oversight, and democratic accountability. Compared with many books that treat intelligence agencies, the Vatican, or the Mafia in isolation, this title attempts to connect them into a single explanatory framework, which can help readers see patterns of how money, deniability, and institutional protection can interact. That integrative approach is a key reason it may be worth buying if you are looking for a broad synthesis rather than a narrow case study. At the same time, the subject is contentious, so its greatest value may be as a starting point for further research, prompting readers to consult inquiries, declassified material, and multiple historians to test and refine their understanding. If you would like to support Paul L. Williams, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.